without further ado, let's go to the news desk of Ishmael Lagari. And good morning to you, Ishmael.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yes, indeed. I'm, you know, up bright, bright and early at 5 a.m., so I'm good.
I see your 5 a.m. and I raise you a 4 a.m. wake up.
Oh, God.
But I am on my second cup of coffee, so feeling a lot better now.
Oh, always good. Always good. Yes, yes.
Ishmael, what's the biggest news story of the week?
Well, the biggest news story is, you know, Zweli Mkhize, the digital vibes corruption allegations. And then also the city press leads with a fallout between Bladens and Mande, and he's the suspended director general, Gwemin Kunda-Konde, who blew up the manner in which the powerful politician ran his portfolio with allegations of improper interference, dodgy tender processes, paranoia and petty politicking. We'll come back to that one, but then, you know, the Zuma supporters incited anarchy. This is in the city press. And Jacob Zuma's son, Dudu Zana, said that, you know, he would have done exactly the same as the looters, which is a very charming thought. But, you know, for me, the story that stands out is the way that we always look at the politicians when we discuss corruption. And there is evidence that this corruption has tainted the public servants, and which is on the one hand, very unfortunate, and on the other hand, shows just how difficult the process of cleaning up the state is, and it's quite concerning.
Sure, you're right, because it is something that we just put in the category of the politicians.
Yes, indeed. You know, the National Development Plan, which came out 3 years ago, as you well may know, placed a huge emphasis on professionalizing the public service. And I should, you know, full disclosure, I worked on the Planning Commission and on the plan at the time. So it's purely coincidental. I'm not trying to promote it. I don't get paid by clicks. So that ended 6 years ago. But the point is that it's a demonstration of just how deep the rot has set in. And that's one of the things. But it's not the only threat to the system. You know, of course, the Zuma issue and the looting and all that will continue. But now Makhachula has come out and is trying to undermine, is throwing shade on the justice system, which further undermines one of the key institutions of our democracy. And, you know, this can't be good. And if you add to that, you know, the Phoenix massacre, I don't know if we should call it a Phoenix massacre, but, you know, an activist had to apologize for chanting "One Indian, One Bullet." So, you know, there's several really threatening things going on around the country, and it's cause for concern.
It is cause for concern, and I'd like to get your thoughts, Ishmael, on the future, on the way forward for the country.
I'm probably not the right thing, the right person. Not that I don't want to do it, but I should say I'm profoundly pessimistic. So I probably, it's not good for a Sunday morning, but let me just say that to give you some kind of perspective, the numbers are overwhelming. Let's just state the fact that, you know, Ramaphosa has to go to an election in 2 years' time. And let us just make up a number. There are 5 million people unemployed. Now, you're not going to provide or create 5 million jobs in the next 2 years. You're not going to, you know, the homelessness is so severe. You're not going to do that in 2 years. You know, so the numbers are against whom I think is, you know, a good president and who's showing good leadership. So, but there are long-term effects of all these things, of because all these things, unrest, feed into the unrest and destabilizing of the country and exploitation by the radical economic transformation and EFF faction. So that is the problem that we face. But it is huge. It's a very big issue for a Sunday morning.
It is. I just ask because I feel like I'm the eternal optimist, and I do try to always see the positive and stay positive. But it is getting harder and harder.
I know. I think it's a generational thing. My nephews, my one nephew. My nephew. But this one nephew's example. He is so positive about the country, and I try not to discuss him because, you know, like when you have children, you want them to have their own heroes. You don't want to tell them, look, so-and-so was a bad person, with your biases. Let them have their own heroes. Mm. So with him, I just let him, if he's optimistic, I just shake my head and says, yeah, we must keep on doing what we can to fix the country. You're right. Because I don't want to taint their optimism with my jaded perspective.
Yeah.
So, good for you. And but something that caught my eye this morning, I got up at 5 a.m. I'm reading through the Independent, and there was a typographical error. I'm making the excuse for Independent. A terrorism accused, Bruce Nimmerholt, was granted bail. And the court lambasted the police for shoddy work. But they write that due to the police's incomplete work, Nimmerholt was granted a bail of 3,000 rand and, now this is the key, and was ordered to interfere with witnesses in the case. Now, that should have been, it was ordered not to interfere with witnesses in the case. One wants to be lighthearted about this, but it's serious, It makes a difference, So this is, and then the story, everybody's happy with the Schoenmakers gold, with the Lions' victory. But one of the sad things is the
I have to correct you before you go on. It wasn't the Lions' victory. It was the Springboks victory, Ishmael.
I'm sorry. Oh, you got me there. Yes, no. But, and then Shona Ferguson's death, I think they should rename Twitter Deather. It's just one long stream of bad news.
It is. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I actually was having this conversation with a friend this week, and I said I've been tempted to delete my Facebook because my timeline recently has looked like an obituary page.
It does. I went on Facebook a few years ago, and because it became a sewer, but also because, for some reason people always think I have an opinion. So, and I always
can't imagine why.
Questions. I can't ask all these, I have to answer questions and speak. As if I know Cyril Ramaphosa, as if Cyril Ramaphosa is in my pocket, as if Trevor Manuel's in my pocket. I don't know what these people are doing with their lives. Don't ask me. So, so there's some light. I think the Olympics has given us a bit of light. The Springbok team has given us a bit of lightness. And, we should actually bask in that glow for a while. But, this week we might get to see more people arrested for the unrest. That's something to look forward to. It's not a good thing to look forward to, but, that's what's coming up this week.
And Ishmael, the likelihood of a cabinet reshuffle?
I can't say, but yes, there is a likelihood of a cabinet reshuffle. The problem that the president faces is the pool is very small. He might have to go outside of the ANC's NEC and get in technocrats, which I think would be a good thing. But, the ANC, there's a faction in the ANC that will challenge these things. Mm. And with these challenges come long court processes, and, you know, so their court processes, the ANC's court processes, you know, clog the justice system when there are so many more important things to deal with in the country. You must remember the conflict of last month was actually, it was essentially a fight within the ANC, and it spilled over into society. So, you know, one dares say, we hope the ANC stays together. We hope the ANC, you know, one dares to say all these good things about the ANC, because we've seen when they start fighting, you know, when elephants fight, it's the ants that get crushed.
Mm.
So, you know, this is, I think that should unfold this week.
Ishmael, I stopped at the garage this morning to get my first cup of coffee on my way into the studio, caught the front page of the Weekend Argus, and saw that there are now growing calls for a stricter lockdown.
There will be calls, but I think it will be dealt with in by province. The lockdown, because Gauteng's spiked, and that not the numbers have gone down there, but the numbers in the Western Cape have gone up. But we also, you know, I come out on the side of lockdown. You know, we're given this choice. Do we save lives or do we save jobs?
Mm.
Do we save lives or do we save the economy?
Mm.
You know, as you may know, I know a couple of things about the economy. And the point about it is, you know, you don't have an economy if you don't have people. So I come out on the side of saving the people. But, you know, industries are suffering. And I think that, you know, the lockdown, they're talking about it in terms of provinces. And right now, Western Cape seems to be increasing. But it's because they're testing more. And we should always remember that.
Well, we are actually talking to a operational manager from the Grootskier ICU at about 8:30. So she'll be able to give us a really first-hand account of what's happening on the front line.
Indeed, indeed. And I should listen to that.
And I did see, Ishmael, yesterday that the Western Cape government opened up the vaccination to journalists of any age. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't notice that. But I knew that it was coming. I knew that it was coming because they consider to be frontline workers.
Yes. So now...
So I knew it was coming.
So great news there for journalists in the field. You're now eligible to get vaccinated. If you have the time to do so, make sure you go and get that jab this week. I got mine this week, Ishmael. You?
I got mine a couple of weeks ago, and I'm expecting, you know, to hear from them. I don't know when I'm going to hear from them to get the next one. But, you know, the thing is, this is, again, one of our big problems we face in the country and around the world is the anti-vaccination movement.
Of course.
And you know, people, there was a, talking about social media, there was a lovely exchange on Twitter where a child said to its mom, why should, you know, blah, 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 something. The mother said something about smallpox, and the child said, what is smallpox? And the mother said, precisely, there was something called smallpox, then we got a vaccination, and now it's been eliminated.
Exactly. I did see that.
That's the point.
Yeah, I also saw that.
So it's very important. It's very important to remember that, you know, we had these big issues. And but our problem is actually a social problem. It's people who think, you know, being asked to have vaccination is some kind of totalitarian oppression or something like that, or wearing a mask is like this, you know, restricting your limits, your liberty and your freedom.
Mm.
And that is such a toxic discussion.
Mm.
It's broken up families. It's broken up friendships. And it's really quite sad. So I think the state and the private sector need to step up with a better campaign.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I know people that say those kinds of things, and it takes every ounce of self-control that I have not to smack them.
You know, take every ounce. I live like a hermit. I am so scared of this thing. I saw my doctor last week, and she said, when I walked in, she said, you look so pale. What's wrong? Are you okay? I said, no, it's because I've been staying indoors.
I haven't seen the sun.
Yes, I I haven't seen the sun. I refuse to go outside. But no, this is, we're living in desperate times, and we have to be very aware of that.
Ishmael, as always, thank you so much for your insight and such a what's the word? Comprehensive review of the week's news.
Thank you so much. You take care. Have a good Sunday, and stay safe and healthy.
And Jude, that's Ishmael Lagardian with your Sunday news review.